everybody. This is Khalif, and you are in the royal room. I'm here to tell you a very important message, and that is... Delighted tonight to have you with us again. Greetings to everyone and to Latia and to all of our co-hosts that are in the room with us tonight. Abednego L. and Marshall Gibson and all of those of you who have joined us here tonight from across the country. I want to look tonight briefly for a few moments at where we are in terms of our world and our cosmos. And tonight I want to open up with a scripture from the Bible that we've used before. And we're going to try to give some extra light that we've not shared before. And that scripture is, for those of you who may have your Bible, found in the book of Job, chapter 38. And we're going to look at verses 31, 32, and 33. Just three verses out of Job 38. And let me read them. Allow me, if you will. Can thou buy the sweet influences of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Can thou bring forth Mazzaroth in his season, or canst thou guide Arcturus with his sons? Now listen to this. It says, knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Question. Canst thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? Now, do you know the ordinances of heaven? This is what we're going to talk about, because so many times we've read this and we've heard different various passages from the Bible. We were never really told what this book really means. And tonight what we're going to look at again is the cosmology of this passage and what it has to do with us tonight. It has very much to do with what goes on in our cosmos and what goes on, of course, in our world. Because the verse says, do you know the ordinances of heaven, and can you set the dominions thereof in the earth? So right there, we're looking at two domains. We're looking at a heavenly domain, and we're looking at an earthly domain. And we're looking at the influences that the precession of the equinox or the cosmos has upon the earth. And how does that relationship work? Of course, the word ordinance simply means the order or how things go or move or how they are operating. So at once what we see is that what is happening in terms of the heavens, they have an impact, if you will, upon the earth. And if you're on planet earth, you're being affected by this process one way or another. Now, allow me to start off by saying to you that these orders or ordinances or the order of how things are moving and the energies that are coming, let me explain that to you. The sun moves along an ecliptic, which is really just an imaginary line, but it stays on a particular path as it moves through the heavens. And as it moves through the heavens, it is also moving among certain constellations. Two of them were, well, actually, forgive me, all of them were basically named in the verses that we read tonight. Pleiades, Orion, Arcturus, and then Maseroth. Maseroth is a word that we have a word for in the English language, zodiacs. So we know we have 12 that the sun moves through, or constellations, if you will, that it moves through in a one-year cycle. It moves through 12 constellations. Aries, we call it Aries, which is symbol is a ram. Then Taurus and Gemini and Cancer and Leo and Virgo and Libra, Scorpio and Sagittarius, Capricorn, Aquarius and Pisces. And then we're back to Aries. So the sun is moving, and the earth is going around the sun, actually. And the sun is going around these constellations. And each month we are in a particular body or constellation as the sun moves along its ecliptic. And there are four cardinal points. Now listen to this carefully. The earth has a tilt at a certain degree that causes the movement in this precession as the sun moves through these bodies. There are four cardinal points. Now, cardinal is a very interesting word because it comes from a Latin word which simply means the door or the opening, or the portal, or vortex. So there are four portals, or four doors, or vortexes, as the sun is moving through these 12 constellations, and the earth's tilt and its rotation causes four portals at certain times. Now, this is pinpoint. This is pinpoint precision. Matter of fact, the Bible says it's perfect, which means that it's pinpoint. It's like clockwork. So those four points I'm going to explain to you, those four openings or four doors. When the sun moves into the constellation of Aries, for an example, springtime comes. Now, when the sun processes or when it moves to this particular body of stars in Aries, springtime comes. The energies come through the portal, through the cardinal point, and it causes the earth, and the earth has a stimuli, or it impacts the earth so that these energies come to the earth that will produce spring. Now, 3 months later, it moves to the next cardinal point, which is Cancer. And in Cancer, we have what is called the summer solstice. That's another cardinal point opening. And the sun then moves into the body or the constellation of stars that we call Cancer, and summertime comes. Spring is gone. Spring is no longer there. Spring is gone. So the earth now reacts to these energies that are coming through the portal or through the vortex, or through the door, through this cardinal point. And we know what happens in the summertime. It begins to get hotter. Things are growing, and things are really alive. Matter of fact, people take vacations in the summertime, and they feel better. You feel there's a different feel to summer than there is to spring, than there is to the next cardinal point that I'm about to explain to you. The sun keeps processing, and the earth's tilt and its wobble and rotation, and it moves to the next cardinal point, which is at the equinox, what we call the equinox, which is at the equator, which simply means equal. And that is the fall equinox, and that's the other portal. Now, the energies, the sun is moving now into the energies of the constellation of Virgo and Libra, moving out of the summer solstice of Leo, which July and August are the hottest months normally because of the position of the sun in a certain body of constellation stars. I wish I had time to go through each one of the stars, but it's just too much information for this line. So I'm just going to give an overview and give a structure for you so that you will understand what I mean. Now, obviously, the last and final cardinal point or vortex or opening is in December, in the winter solstice. And that particular position, or when the sun moves into this particular body of stars, the earth moves into a frigid time, moves into a coldness. Things, the leaves that had fallen in the fall off the trees, now the trees and vegetation, and the earth moves into, if you will, for lack of a better metaphor, it moves into a vaulted tomb, if you will. And for the next three constellations, Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces, the sun is in these three constellations, each one having 30 degrees, or three decans, as they call them, each one having 10 degrees, making a total of 30. But for the next three constellations, Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces, the earth is in the refrigerator. That's a good illustration. It's in the freezer. Nothing is growing. Life seems to suspend itself, or to life seems to go into a dormant state. There's no life. There's no vegetation growing, unless they are evergreen. We have some plants that will grow in the coldness, but for the most part, Antarctica and the North Pole, where it's always cold, there's very limited vegetation that will grow. So now you understand the precession of, or the order in which the heavens are moving, and you understand the energies that are causing an effect on the earth. And what effect is that? Winter, spring, summer, and fall. And that's just a fact, people. And it's right here in your mind. The ordinances are there. I hope I'm being clear. I'm going to stop that just for a moment and see if Abednego L or one of these brothers would like to get in and talk about this with me, because I don't know if in church we've ever discussed this in church before. And Abednego, are you there?
Yeah, Bishop. Yeah, I'm here.
I felt you wanting to have something to say right there.
Well, you've presented to us the ordinances of heaven, which is the procession of the equinox, and you have shown us the four doors, the four openings, which are your four seasons of the year, and the ordinance of heaven should be in line with the ordinance of the church. But I think, Bishop, that the ordinances of the church, timing is wrong. Which ordinance of heaven is right on time every day of the year. But something is wrong with the church. What you say, Bishop?
Well, the ordinances of the church, as we were taught in Protestantism, we were trained, and of course, I know you were ordained and catechized, and then ordained. They taught us that there were some ordinances of the church. Where they told us that there was baptism, and they told us the Lord's Supper. Correct?
Yes.
And the Lord's Supper has to do with eating, which is in the Old Testament would be a sacrifice lamb that was sacrificed and roasted, and unleavened bread was prepared, and people partook by breaking bread and also having a libation, wine, which we can discuss. But these ordinances of the church that we have, baptism and what we call the Lord's Supper, we can also identify, Abednego, we can identify baptism and the Lord's Supper right here in this procession or the ordinances of heaven.
Yes, sir.
Very easy to locate.
It's all right there.
It's very easy to locate. Would you like to tell them what baptism is? Or what you want me to do?
That you do a baptism, got to be in the water.
It has to be in the water.
When the sun is going down in the evening, same process when Noah rides on the water for 5 months of winter, that's your baptism. Your resurrection is coming out of Capricorn, Aquarius, Pisces, back into your spring when everything comes to life in Aries, the ram, which is the head. Am I right?
You are definitely right. Baptism occurs when the sun in the ordinance, as it's moving, as it's precessing along these four cardinal points that we spoke of, the sun moves 1 degree a day But something very interesting happens when the sun enters into the winter solstice. There's a body of stars called the Southern Crux, C-R-U-X, which means cross. And because of something called precessional slippage, and I don't know how to explain that, I haven't found anyone that can explain precessional slippage, what that really means, but it's like wheels in a clock that are turning clockwise and counterclockwise. If one wheel is turning clockwise, the other wheel that's connected to it turns counterclockwise. And you can see that. But when the sun enters into the winter solstice, along this precession, into this particular body of stars, which is called the cross, the day is shortened and the nights begin to get longer. So the sun itself, the daylight is taken away, and the night is lengthened. And something interesting. Pardon me?
So we just had the Southern Cross, am I correct?
When we went through December the 21st in the summer, in the winter solstice, December the 21st, when the sun moves into that particular place in its precession in the heavens, we get the shortest day. That's just a fact. There's a short day, then there's a longest day. There's a shortest day, then there's a longest day. There's a longest night, then there's a shortest night. In the summer solstice, there's the longest day, and then the shortest night. Obviously, what you have here now with these four cardinal points, if something is stealing, if you take those four cardinal points and make a cross, what you really have to help people to understand if they're familiar with the Bible, it is you have two thieves, one stealing daylight and one stealing the night. One stealing the night and one stealing the day. If you look at those four cardinal points and make them into a cross, with the equinox and the solstices, from the North Pole to the South Pole, from the equator straight across the Earth, making a cross, what you have are two thieves on either side of your cross in the winter and summer solstice, stealing daylight and stealing nighttime from the sun. Am I making sense?
So that's where we get the two thieves on the cross.
Correct. And when the sun enters into this particular body of stars in the Southern Cross or in the winter solstice, it stays there in that particular constellation, the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. But something happens. It does not move because of something called precessional slippage. It does not move 1 degree. It rises, as we call it, rise and set, sets in the same degree for 3 days and three nights. But then on the 25th of December, the sun moves 1 degree, comes up out of that particular constellation. And 5 days before and 5 days after, there is a constellation of stars seen in Virgo that are only visible during the 5 days before and 5 days after that the sun moves on 1 degree on the 25th. And that particular set of stars that's seen in Virgo, the ancient name for it means a manger. And that's what Christ of the scripture, when he was born, he was laid in a what?
Manger.
He was laid in a manger. And that means that if he was laid in a manger was a feeding trough for animals. So now what you have now when the sun moves out of Sagittarius, which is a half horse animal, half man, which is symbolic of the God-man, on the 22nd, and moves into Capricorn. The symbol for Capricorn is a sea animal and a lamb or a ram or a goat. or a sheep. The animals. So Christ is born among the animals, laid in a manger on the 25th. And that is the S-U-N that I'm talking about, not the S-O-N. Hmm. And that is an order. Now, if you take 30 days later, or the three deacons that are in Capricorn, the constellation of Capricorn, because Sagittarius is over, and we go into Capricorn, the sun is born. 30 degrees, as the sun moves 1 degree a day later, after going into Capricorn, it goes into a constellation called Aquarius. 30 degrees, as the sun, S-U-N, moves 30 degrees, it moves into Aquarius. And the symbol for Aquarius is what?
Oh, the water man.
A water man. And that's the picture of a man that has an urn with an incessant stream of water that is flowing from an urn in the mouth of a fish. A fish turned toward the stream, getting the incessant stream, or the fish turning, the stream is flowing to the fish. Now watch this. Right there, the sun is baptized in the constellation of Aquarius. 30 degrees. How old was the Christ when he was baptized by John in the River Jordan?
33 and a half.
He was 30 years old. Isn't that amazing? That, now, this is a way for you all who are struggling to remember what I'm saying about the ordinances of heaven, to understand it, because it's right here in your Bible. Jesus was born. We celebrate Christmas on the 25th. And 30 years later, he goes into, well, 10, 12 years later, he goes into the temple at 12. Then he disappears. There's no record of anything that he's ever done for 18 years. And then all of a sudden, he shows up again 18 years later after being 12. And last time I checked, 12 and 18 is 30. And he shows up at this river where this guy named John is baptizing. And he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." And he's 30 years old. And the sun now just has moved 30 degrees from Capricorn into Aquarius, and the sun is now being baptized in the heavens by the water bearer. Nothing you can do about it, people. Mm. It's there. I didn't make it up. I didn't write it. I'm just explaining to you the order. So the sun, S-U-N, is baptized 30 degrees in its precession, slip, 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 all the way to 30. It's being baptized after it's born, coming out of the womb of the crux, where the constellations of a body of stars called the manger is visible in the constellation of Virgo, the Virgin. Virgin birth, and then 30 years or 30 degrees later, we have the baptism. Now, that's one of the ordinances of the church. I'm glad you brought that up. I never would have thought to explain it that way. So since the ordinances of the heavens must complement the ordinances that we have in the church, because if they both have the same architect, if the architect is the same and the plans are the same, we should be able to locate the ordinances of the heavens by locate the ordinances of the church by understanding the ordinances of the heavens. Because after all, you do remember that Psalms 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory, and the firmament show forth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night uttereth knowledge." And there's no language, listen, speech, voice. There's no language on earth where their voice is not heard. So there is a message being declared, and there's a message being spoken from the precession of these bodies that we're talking about. But we were never taught to stop and listen to the message that the heavens are preaching now or declaring. So what I'm doing tonight is that I'm showing you in clear relief that this book you have called the Bible, if you know how to look at it, it is a book of facts. But it also can be turned into a book of fiction. We won't deal with that. Now, when the sun moves out of the constellation of Aquarius, where does it go? What's the next stop? Would anyone care to tell? And I'll show you exactly in the Bible.
Pisces, Bishop.
It goes into Pisces. And what is the symbol of Pisces?
The fish.
How many?
Two fish.
Two fish swimming in opposite direction, correct?
Yes, sir. The struggle.
When Jesus of the Bible is baptized by John, he goes down to the seaside, and who does he call to follow him?
Peter and John?
He calls fishermen, correct?
Yes.
He calls fishermen to follow him. So now the sun is moving. Wow, this is amazing. I mean, I can wear out any theologian, any biblicist that want to contradict this. It would almost be foolish, ludicrous, and to a certain degree, a level of superlative ignorance to augur that the sun does not precess out of the water into the Pisces, and that the symbolism, it only gets worse. I mean, if someone wanted to challenge this, there's a preponderance of correlations that are too expository to augur unless one is just a complete idiot. Because you've got to do something. You've got to do something with all of these correlations. Because I've just located the virgin birth in a manger. I've just located the baptism. I've just located the calling of the fishermen and the age of the Pisces, the Piscean age. But then what happens now? The other ordinance of the church after baptism is what? What did we say? Or what?
The Lord's
called the Lord's Supper, correct? So 33 years after Jesus is baptized, 3 years after he's baptized by John, he goes into ministry. He goes to Jerusalem. And when he gets to Jerusalem, it's the time of the Passover. And what did they do at the Passover? We just said a little earlier. They sacrificed, they killed a ram. They killed a ram. And they roasted the ram. And they ate the ram. And they ate unleavened bread. That was the Passover. As a matter of fact, that's what Jesus went into the upper room in the Bible to celebrate, was the Passover lamb. And so now watch this. 30 degrees as the sun moves, 30 degrees or three, think of the number three. From the time it's baptized, call the fish or men, or the sun moves into Pisces, the fishermen, it stays there for 30 degrees, 30 degrees. It moves into from the constellation of Pisces into the constellation of Aries, which is the lamb. Now the sun, behind the sun, is the constellation that we call Aries, or the ram, or the lamb. And the sun now, the blazing hot sun, let me use this terminology, if I may. The blazing hot sun now sacrifices the ram or the lamb or the stars, the particular body of constellation that we call Aries, and the sun passes over the equator right in the middle of the earth, it passes over. The sun does a passover from the cold winter refrigerator of Capricorn 1, Aquarius 2, Pisces 3, 3 months or three constellations is in the tomb or the refrigerator, the deep freezer of the winter solstice. But then it passes over the equator and has a resurrection. And what happens on the earth? Well, in the winter solstice, we've already talked about no life. But then when it passes over and the sun moves into Aries, the ram, and it's sacrificed there in Aries, the ram, the sun, is sacrificed in Aries. The earth now has a resurrection, a revitalization, a restoration. Things begin to spring back to life. We've just located, people, the two ordinances in the church, but we didn't locate them in the church. We located them in the heavens. Now, who wants to argue? If you want to argue, you will probably be made to look ridiculous, because unless you can stop the sun from moving by some way, stop it from precessing, then this is too factual to argue, because now the sun begins an upward ascension from the constellation of Aries. It's still moving in its ecliptic, and it's going up. It's ascending. And what did Christ do after he was raised from the dead? He walked around 40 days, and according to this Bible, I'm just showing you this Bible. It's a good book. You just have to know how to interpret it. And I just took you to a question that the Most High asked Job, and I'm answering the question for Job tonight, and I may be answering the question for some of you. He said to Job, do you know the ordinances of heaven? And I'm explaining to you these ordinances. Now, some of my good colleagues, excuse me, and friends and brothers and enemies and whatever, I could care less, are going to say, ooh, this is a cult. You mean to tell me the procession of the sun and Job and the Most High asking Job about the ordinances of heaven, that's a cult? You're walking on very thin ice there to say that a factual process that's occurring is a cult, because the one that created this factual process, he's the one that implemented this wheel that I'm explaining and all of these ordinances. And I hope I'm being clear. Sounds like it's very clear in my mind. But now, let me get back to the ordinances. And once the sun is sacrificed in Aries and the earth has a resurrection, it moves on an upward ascent, going up through Taurus, going up through Gemini, and it gets to Cancer, and it reaches the sun, S-U-N. It reaches its farthest, most upward ascent. It goes to the highest place it can go in the procession, in the cosmos, in our galaxy. And it doesn't go any farther. From this point on, when it reaches that most high point, it's going to begin to fall or to come down or to descend again to come down. So when Jesus in the Bible is resurrected after walking for 40 days on the earth, he ascended and went to the Most High. He ascended, and S-U-N is ascending after being raised, and the earth is experiencing resurrection, and it's moving 1 degree, moving in its precession, moving upward in the heavens, and it reaches its highest point, and boom, it reaches the Most High. And the only thing that's left for it to do now is to start a descending degree passage, coming back down to start the process all over again. Now, what you have, my brothers and sisters, you have the birth, you have the manger, you have the baptism, you have the calling of the disciples, you even have the sacrifice of the S U-N, and the constellation of Aries, the ram or the lamb. You got a lamb, and he is called the Lamb of God. Is that coincidental? Wow. And then he ascends to the Most High. Now watch this. Last one, and I'm finished. When he gets to the Most High, according to the Bible says that he sits down on the right hand of God, glorified. Now watch this. As the Son moves from the Most High position in its precession and begins to precess, it moves, if you will, in a path that is almost to the right. From Cancer to Leo, it reaches its highest point in Cancer, but then it begins to descend to a right position in the constellation of Leo. And what is the symbol of Leo, Abednego?
The lion.
The lion. And so we have at the spring equinox a lamb, but then at the equinox over here, on the opposite side, we have a lion in the constellation. And is Jesus in the Bible called a lion? In Revelation 5,
Judah.
He's exactly. He's called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And the lion is what? The king of the jungle. And so when he sits down at the right hand of God, of the Most High, he's glorified. And when the Son reaches its farthest point and descends to the right side, what is the effect on the earth in July and August? The Sun is in its glory, it's in its most heated, hottest state, and the earth becomes hot, and the hottest time is when the Sun, S-U-N, is in the king, lion, Leo. I think I'm going to stop there. I think I've explained the ordinances of heaven. But let me add this editorial comment to what we have just said here tonight. Everything that we just explained that happens above you in the precession, in that tabernacle. As a matter of fact, the Bible calls the heavens a tabernacle for the Son. Let me read that to you. Let me read that. It's very interesting. The heavens, I'm in Psalms 19, for those of you who may want to flip there hurriedly. The heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament shows his handiwork, day unto day, utter his speech, night unto night, showeth knowledge. And there is no speech, nor language, where their voice is not heard. Their line is going out through all the earth. Listen. The stars and the interplanetary motive of the nebula and the orbs of light that he placed in the firmament, their lines are gone out through all the earth. And their words, this is right in the Bible, to the ends of the earth. In them had he set a tabernacle for the S-U-N. And then he says something, and I don't want to get into that. I just wanted you to see the word tabernacle, because that word tabernacle is very important. Because that word tabernacle now gives you a clue. It's the same word temple. So the Son is moving through a temple, and you have an order of service. Now, Abednego, a lot of people know the order of service in our churches. They know we come in, we do a call of worship, we do a scripture reading, we do a what we call a responsive reading. We may have a hymn, and of course we take up an offering.
We
do an altar call, and then maybe the choir sing a song or two, and somebody may give a testimony. That's normally not in an order of service that's on a printed program, but sometimes we improvise. But nonetheless, there's an order of service that we are familiar with when we go to church. But are we familiar with the order of service or the ordinances of the orders that we have just explained? No, we're not. But you are now, because I just explained it to you. So this word tabernacle is temple. his temple. So the Most High has made a temple for the Son, S-U-N, to move in. Now that word temple or tabernacle is important because now the temple or the Son that's moving in the temple or tabernacle in the heaven, you are a temple or a tabernacle. And the same process that happens above you that we just explained, we're not going back over it, also happens in you. And that maybe we might cover that at another time. Now, while I'm there, let me take just a brief moment, take a break to announce our Macabre Blood Moon activation event, the 3rd, 4th, and 5th, right here in Greenville, Mississippi, where we have identified a vortex, an energy center that's open for these energies. I know it to be true because I've experienced it. Others have experienced it. You do not want to miss. This is our last evening for you to get registered, to get into this Macabre activation event. You will experience how to activate these energies and raise your vibration as a force field, as a shield, against the many weapons that are being used. And, of course, it is a blood moon. There are special energies. We've just explained this to you. We're at a portal, a door of the spring, one of the cardinal points. The energy is going to come in. We have found a portal right here in this Moriah Stargate location in Greenville, Mississippi. The 3rd, the 4th, and 5th, all roads should lead to Greenville, Mississippi. We will show you how the process or the ordinances that takes place in the tabernacle for the S-U-N also takes place inside of your temple, your tabernacle, your body. You need to know this. You need to know it because you need to know how to raise your vibrations to the point, because there are others who have given you religion but did not give you this science that we are explaining tonight of how to regulate the order of service inside of your own temple, because you are designed exactly without any equivocation, without any degree, without any shadow of turning. The design of the Son moving through the pattern of the tabernacle in heaven is the same design that is your temple. And there is an energy moving through you that others want to keep suppressed. They want to keep the vibration. They want to keep you in dissonance, out of harmony with this cosmic power that we're talking about. So all roads, April 3rd, 4th, blood moon is on the 4th. And let me say this. I hate to say it, but I have to say it parenthetically and move on to a positive note. Those that use this science against you will shed much blood between now and September the 28th, the blood moon. Don't look at it religiously, people. Look at it in science. There's a reason. We won't get into that tonight. There's a reason for the there will either be mass or magnanimous bloodshed. Because the people who understand this science, and we won't get into it, sell you the religious hype, but there's a reason why they need blood. And it has to do with energy. Life is in the blood. And it is a fact, people, that during these blood moons, much blood is shed upon the earth by the people that are utilizing this science to manipulate and control the world. Now, even when you go to the Bible, how much time do I have? I got 10 minutes. Even when you go to the Bible, the Christ and Jesus of the Bible is sacrificed during a solar and lunar eclipse. You have it right here in your Bible. Don't throw this Bible away. When there was a blood moon, which is a lunar eclipse, and there was a solar eclipse, the Bible says that the sun refused to shine from the 6th to the 9th hour, simply meaning that there was a solar eclipse. A solar eclipse.
And it says that the moon turned into blood, lunar eclipse. Someone killed him. And these same people that have held this secret, sacred science. These same people that have held this science secret and secret shadow organizations and shadow governments, I'm now blowing the lid. Am I afraid? No, I'm not afraid. I'm telling you that there will be massive or either a magnanimous sacrifice. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated April the 4th, 1968. In a T-Trad blood moon cycle. 9 days before the blood moon, on April the 13th, he was assassinated, or you could say he was sacrificed. Christ was sacrificed by these same people. This is what your Bible tells you. It's there for you to understand. I've broken the code for you. You know what this is all about. Energy is in the blood. They are harvesting the energies. And that's another discussion of how they do that, because they understand this matrix. They understand the science of harvesting these energies. But you are forewarned, so you are forearmed. Knowledge and knowing is your salvation, because a lack of knowledge is your destruction. Do not miss this blood moon macabre activation that is coming up. It will save your lives. It will help you. So that's about all I want to say right now. I think we're moving.
Dr. Cleave, can you tell them how to sign up and register?
Why don't you do that?
Mm-hmm. If you would go over to stage2omega.com, you can sign up there by clicking on the banner at the very top of the homepage, and then just follow the links that takes you over to the registration page. Or if you're listening from the BBS radio side, you can go to our banner there. Out, just scroll down on the home page at the front there, and you can click on the link that will take you to the registration page also. It's very simple, and we hope to really see you there, because I think you're really going to come away with a lot of enlightenment. And Dr. Cleave and Dr. Api will share knowledge and wisdom with you guys, plus the backdrop of the energies of the estate there. Be prepared to have your mind explode. That's all I can say. I know I was when I was there in August last year. Thank you.
And so were so many other people. And I didn't quite finish my thought out. You know, I guess I want to finish.
Okay.
I've been cleaning all day today, and
yes, you have.
I've been doing housework. And but at any rate, allow me, if I may, to finish out the statement about Dr. Martin Luther King,
absolutely,
who was assassinated or sacrificed, I should say. 1967-68, which was a cycle of T-trides, four blood moons, that fell on these feast days. And the feast day in 1968 was April the 13th, and Dr. King was assassinated 9 days before it. Now, here's my point. This year, the blood moons that fall on a feast day, it's falling on a feast day, the people that don't get lost in the religion, the Feast of Passover. Don't get lost in that. It's all about energy. And these people understand this. Dr. King was assassinated April the 4th. This blood moon is on April the 4th. Now, why is that important? Because even in 2,500 years B.C., which throws us into 4,500 years ago, they understood how to chart this information and when eclipses would occur. This knowledge was not secret in 1968. The astronomers have already charted the course of when the next blood moon T-trads will be, 600 years from now. And we have something special happening this year, which has never, ever, ever before happened in the history that we know of. And that is a super blood moon coming in September. And you should look out. You're forewarned. You can be forearmed. This is a great time to be alive. I wish I had more time to talk about it, but my time has run out, and I'm ready to play some music in a moment. And Abednego, we have about 5 minutes before we go off the air, and hopefully those of you in the BBS radio audience, along with our gracious and kind and cordial and I might say generous host over at BBS Radio, we want to thank all of you for allowing us to bring this message of help, healing, assistance, aid, and relief to the people who so desperately need it, because sometimes not knowing, there's no safety in ignorance. People don't want to know, but there's salvation in knowledge. Now you know, and we have to thank those at BBS, Doug, and all of those at BBS Radio for allowing us this opportunity. And Alaja, thank you. Abednego, thank you. Any editorial comments in the last minute or so, Abednego, that you want to say about what we said? How do we do today? Is he there?
Where did he go?
He's hiding.
I know.
Why are you hiding, man? Don't hide from me.
No, I went in the room and she heard the TV and she did the right thing. That woman is bad, I tell you. I love
you
it.
You make noise, Rosemary.
No, you do your thing right. But Bishop was telling us tonight that we have a church in the sky and we have a church in us. And they all function. Perfect timing. And like Bishop says, silence is ignorance. Knowledge is salvation. And
wow.
We pray to you all.
Now, those of you also, I'd like to say, those of you who feel led to give a donation, you can also give a donation over there at stage2omega.com. That's stage2omega.com. You can give a donation to keep this message going. We don't obligate. We don't charge. If you don't do it, we're going to still get this message out. If you do it, we do appreciate it. And you can also send in your checks to 137 Bayou Road, Greenville, Mississippi. That's 137 Bayou Road, Greenville, Mississippi, 38701. And make your contributions or donations tax deductible, I might say, to the Moriah Christian Fellowship Church. If you want to keep this message going and support us, we greatly appreciate that. Again, that's stage2omega.com or 137 Bayou Road, Greenville, Mississippi. Moriah Church is sufficient. Thank you very much. It's been an absolute plum pleasing pleasure to have had you here with us tonight in this room, and I still have one message that I just love giving to people when I'm getting ready to close, and that message is...
Ain't no stopping now. We got to do. Ain't no stopping now. I know. Negative vibe, and if you're trying to make it, they only push you aside.